Amen. We'll turn now for our text this morning to Luke chapter 1. Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1. And when you're Luke chapter 1, turn with me to verses 39 to 45. Luke 1, verses 39 to 45. In this text of scripture, we're going to be looking at Mary and as she visits her cousin Elizabeth and what we can learn of this time of wonderful fellowship that they enjoyed together. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45, let us hear God's holy and infallible word. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Our title for this morning's message is "The Spirit of God at Work in Mary's Visit to Elizabeth." The Spirit of God at work in Mary's visit to Elizabeth. It's truly wonderful to be here this morning, and I honestly mean that. And I believe all of us, because of what we've gone through over the last, 16 months, have a sense of how wonderful public worship is. And why can I say that? Because we know what it's like to be without it. And it's hard. It's hard. I am someone who has a deep desire to have God's people together. We need to be together. We need each other. So it broke my heart, you know, when I heard, I'm from the Republic of Ireland, I'm originally from Cork, myself, and it broke my heart to see what the government was doing to Christians in the name of healthcare. We may have treated the body, but we have failed so often, I think, in the last 16 months to treat the soul with that healing balm which comes only from the Lord. Something so valuable was taken from you, and something so valuable was taken from all of us. Something else which I miss dearly during this time of lockdowns and other things like that was being in the homes of believers. We've been created in the image of God. We're God's image bearers. We crave relationship. It's the way we've been created, all of us. Think about it. The members of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, what have they been experiencing between each other from all eternity? Blessed, intimate relationship with one another. So we naturally crave it. It's part of that image we bear. It is often this relationships, and you see it when we visit people in hospitals, we're lonely and people haven't seen anybody for a long time. It can be the greatest medicine that they can ever have. Seeing somebody, hearing somebody's voice, a phone call, whatever it is, it can be the most wonderful medicine. And during the last 16 months, you didn't have to be a Christian to see this. You see how much people crave for relationship, and what a joy and what a grief, or relief, sorry, is seen when loved ones are in the presence of each other. But while you don't have to be a Christian necessarily to see this in any way, there's something more wonderful when believers come together. There's something even more special about that. Because of the bond we share, because of that union we have, the same Spirit we share in Almighty God, the Spirit we share makes this Christian fellowship, when we come together, when we meet together, when we pray together, extra special. This morning we're going to look at an extra special meeting of two believers in the Messiah. Mary and Elizabeth, her older cousin. Now we know from the scriptures who Mary is. She's just been given this wonderful news. In some ways you could say daunting news. That she would bear in her womb the Son of David, the Son of God. A great privilege, the most amazing privilege imaginable. That the Creator of heaven and earth would come and dwell in the womb of Mary. True God and true man. But Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, who also had wonderful news some months earlier. She would bear his son, who would be later called John the Baptist, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prophesied in the book of Isaiah. Well, this is an extraordinary meeting with extraordinary fellowship, because who Jesus is and who John is, pointing towards the ministry of Jesus, with the mother of Christ and the mother of John the Baptist together, yet it can teach us much here today, in 2021. It can teach us much of the wonderful work of the Spirit of God among God's people when they come together. It can teach us of what wonderful blessings which can be enjoyed when God's people come together in fellowship. Fellowship. We all share the same Spirit. We share that same Spirit that was at work in Luke chapter 1. Number one here this morning, we're going to look at how the Spirit brings encouragement. Number one, the Spirit brings encouragement. Verses 40 and 41 says this, and entered the house of Zacharias, this is Mary, and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Visits from Christians often bring encouragement. Here, Elizabeth is uplifted as she hears the greeting of Mary. There's more than that, of course. But she is encouraged. She's lifted up. It is encouragement from the Holy Spirit. We know she is encouraged from her response that comes later when she says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Don't we all need this encouragement from time to time? Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how strong your faith may be, we all need encouragement. If you go through our church history, you know, you'll notice some of the godliest men to ever labor on the earth, men like John Calvin, they would write letters and be very close friends with other people who would encourage them. But essentially it was really the Holy Spirit encouraging them, remembering the promises of Almighty God. And what encouragement might Elizabeth have needed? You'd think, she has heard this amazing news. At this stage of her life, she's going to bear a child. An important child. What encouragement could she possibly need? Well, we also know from the scriptures, her husband, Zacharias, was not able to talk to her. That would have been very, very difficult for her. To not have, at that time, during pregnancy, difficult time for any woman, to have that soothing, reassuring encouragement from your husband. If you turn to verse 20 of the same chapter, "But behold, you will be mute," this is speaking to Zacharias, "and not able to speak until the day these things are made, until these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And he doesn't speak again until verse 64. Verse 64, immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed and he spake praising God. But until that time, he was a mute. That would have been no doubt hard for Elizabeth to bear and to deal with, especially given her pregnancy. Is there discouragement that can take place in normal life? Yes. There's discouragement, potential discouragement in our businesses. There's potential discouragement in our marriages. There's potential discouragement in our being parents, grandparents. You hear of something that would sadden you. We all face this. Every single last one of us face this. Are you facing that here this morning, dear Christian? Things that we don't like to happen, but they do come. How do we seek that encouragement? How do we nurture that encouragement in the Spirit of God, one toward another? Well, one way is visiting the saints. As Mary did here, she visited another believer. Being with each other. Being with each other is powerful. It shows that you care. It shows that you love one another. Oh, may the Lord's Spirit work mightily among his people. That spirit of fellowship, that special spirit of fellowship, as soon as Elizabeth heard the voice of Mary, she was filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. We all need encouragement at various times, and it must ultimately come from the Spirit of God. So number one, the Spirit brings encouragement. Number two now, we're going to look at the Spirit brings life. The Spirit brings life. We see in the babe here, in the baby, the Greek word here is brephos, and that means that can be referring to a baby in the womb or a baby that's very, very young. The scriptures are very, very clear that life begins at conception. That unborn child, we see both John the Baptist and Elizabeth, her mother, filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did the Spirit of the Lord bring them both? Life. Life. It brought them life. If you read in Romans 8, verse 9, Romans 8, verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." And this is important here. "Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." So without the Spirit of God, you don't have Christ. Verse 10 in Romans 8, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." The Spirit brings life, spiritual life, the most important life that matters. Can you imagine if we were declaring, I know for the last 16 months there's been lots of numbers and case numbers and deaths and various things. But imagine if we talked about how many people are dying without Christ, dying with no spiritual life and spending an eternity in hell. Far more serious, but we don't think about it nearly as much. Without the Spirit, there is no life at all. Without the Spirit, spiritually speaking, we are a lifeless corpse. It's a scary thought. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from the womb. It's incredible. He was filled with the Spirit of God from the womb. In verse 15 of Luke 1, Verse 15 of Luke 1, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." And that happened here. He was filled with the Spirit of God. Now, are all God's people filled with the Spirit of God from the womb? No. Some are born again, regenerated, given a new nature later in life. Perhaps you were born again when you were one. Perhaps you were two. You don't remember it. The important part is not that you remember the very moment. You might have even been older and not remember the exact moment. As a teenager, as an adult, perhaps even in your later years. But whatever the case, whenever it did happen, it must happen. Otherwise, there is no life. Otherwise, there is no hope without that Spirit. Whenever it happens, I have a very fuzzy recollection of when I got saved in the middle of March. I don't remember the date. 2009. It made a massive change in my life. I was 24 years old, and the Lord changed me hugely because I was a very rebellious person. But some people are raised in Christian homes, and they don't know the exact point. But the question is, do you remember the point in time, but do you believe today? Do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in your heart today? Because without that, there is no hope. And let us think very, very simply. What is the effect of the Spirit of Almighty God on the hearts of believers? What is the effect of it? Because if you listen to much of modern Christianity, they would say that there's no effect, almost. We can have the Spirit of God, but we can live like the world. Does the Spirit of Almighty God make us more holy or less holy? It must be more holy, surely. Now, that process is not finished until glorification, until that final day when our bodies are resurrected. But while we're here on this earth, if we have the Spirit of God, well, we may have setback. There will be a direction toward greater holiness, greater obedience to the commandments of Almighty God. Does it make sense if we claim to be born again and our lives show no trace of the Holy Spirit? Can it possibly make any sense? Because there are so many people. I think I looked it up on Google there a few months ago. How many people claim around the world to be Christians? It's 1 point something billion. And does anybody believe that there's that many Christians in the world? They've done surveys. People think that they're born again Christians, but they reject doctrines like the Trinity. The Holy Spirit will make us more holy. He changes you. He changes his people. Very, very simply, they will be different. They'll be different from the world. Now, very often we can just be odd and strange and trying to be just different that way. That's not what I mean. But we will be different. There'll be something different about us. The world will often not know what to say. Why is he different? Why is he that way? Are you different? Does the world see you as different? Spiritually belonging to another world. Another world entirely. A spiritual world with a spiritual king and a spiritual ruler, far more powerful than any ruler upon the face of this earth. Western Christianity often says, you can live like you don't, but you won't. If you have the Spirit of God, you will be different. It says in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we've looked at the Spirit brings encouragement, number one. Number two, the Spirit brings life. Now, number three, the Spirit brings praise. The Spirit brings praise. The Spirit changes us, Now here is one of the ways in which he changes us. Elizabeth congratulates Mary on this great privilege that she has, or this great blessing that she has. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 42 it says this, "Then she spoke out with a loud voice," not just a whisper or anything, but just a loud voice, "and said, 'Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" This is incredible. The most great, amazing privilege that any mother could ever have. "The fruit of your womb is blessed, and you, among women, of all the women who have ever walked upon the face of the earth, you are the most blessed." Now, as being Protestants, we can get nervous about that, and sometimes we don't like to make much of Mary because we know the idolatry that surrounds her, which is tragic. But our dear Roman Catholic neighbors need to know the true Mary of the Scriptures. A woman with a great example. She was godly. She was a godly woman. And she was blessed. She was a sinner, like you and I. But she had an amazing blessing. An extraordinary blessing to be the mother of, it says here, "my Lord." The mother of my Lord. We can often miss what is being said here. The word Lord. The word Lord here can mean master. It can be used very generally. But it can also be a translation of the word Jehovah. If you take the Hebrew word Jehovah and put it into Greek, it's Lord. Lord. Or Kurios. So she's essentially saying here, "The mother of my Jehovah, the covenant Lord, the one King of heaven and earth, the covenant Lord God, the God of Israel, and the one who would redeem his people, the one and the one alone who is to be worshipped, the one who would have victory over all the other nations. This is the one who is coming before." This is the thing often, sadly, that the Jehovah's Witnesses get wrong. It's merely a translation of Lord. He is Lord. When they're calling him Lord, it means more than just he's just some kind of general master. No, he is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is that Lord spoken about. Let us speak now about the childbirth. Childbirth itself, by itself, of itself, of any image bearer of God, is a tremendous, wonderful blessing. And we largely have forgotten this in the West. I would say, especially my generation and younger. And we've forgotten largely that it's in God's hands. That God opens the womb. And he shuts the womb. If you look at doctors and scientists, they still don't largely understand all the processes, do they, of how a baby is formed. They're honest. It's all in God's hands. We are image bearers of Almighty God. Yes, that image can be spoilt because of sin, but it's there. It still remains. And the Spirit of God leads us to praise God, because who is the source of this blessing for Mary? "Blessed are you among women." How are you blessed? Who has blessed you? "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." What's the source of this blessing? The Lord Jesus Christ. The source of this blessing. And the Spirit of God leads us to praise God for these blessings. And we begin to see all around us, don't we? The more the Spirit of God works in us, the more we see the blessings. And not just the blessings, but the source of those blessings. The Lord himself is in Mary's womb. And this is why Mary is so blessed. We praise him. We must see the blessings around us. Elizabeth sees this all as a great honor. Verse 43. "But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" This is a great honor for her. that this person would come. It's a great honor. And while when we greet one another in fellowship, when we share sweet time together, as we're together now, worshiping our God in heaven, we don't have the blessing of greeting the Lord's own mother, but we have the blessing of greeting, don't we, other people who share the same spirit of Almighty God. That is a wonderful honor. Blessed is the communion we share in the spirit of Almighty God. Blessed are we when we are one in Christ in union in the Spirit of God. What a great blessing. Should we not praise Him as He is the source of these blessings? May we all see here this morning what we all have in Christ. She had an extraordinary blessing, but we also have, not to the same degree, but we surely also have many things to be thankful for. Cars that brought us here this morning, legs that allowed us to walk, hearts beating in our chest, lungs that make us and breathing possible. We have so many things. And you know when you appreciate those things? When they're gone. When your health is gone. You see how blessed we are with all that we have. Number four now. The Spirit brings joy. So we just looked at the Spirit brings peace or praise. Now, number four, the Spirit brings joy. The Spirit brings joy. And if we're honest, we see all that's going on in the world. It's hard, if we're focused on the world, it's hard to remain joyful, to be joyful in this world, because there's so many things, especially if you're paying too much attention to the news media. There's much suffering, much sin, and much for the Christian to lament and weep over what has happened to this island in the last number of years. The redefinition of marriage. The legalization of the slaughter of the unborn, north and south of our border. But our text here shows us how the Spirit brings joy. In what context? In the context of wonderful fellowship between believers. Luke 1:44 says this, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy." Just the very sound of a voice. If you haven't seen or heard from somebody in a while, we have a sense of that joy, don't we? That joy of hearing somebody's voice or seeing somebody close by. The Spirit worked using the voice of Mary, not dependent on the voice of Mary. Mary was a mere human being like you or I. But the Lord uses believers to bring joy to other believers. Even a child in the womb here was filled with joy. Yes, this is an extraordinary time, you might say. And you see, this is the thing. Sometimes we'll say, this is an extraordinary time. This has no application to my life. This might be the danger we would come to when we look at a text like this. These two wonderful blessed mothers, what could they possibly have to teach me in 2021, in this year, when we're dealing with all sorts of things around us? The Spirit of God works among believers. That's what it teaches us. He works among believers, bringing joy and peace when they come together. Not dependent on that. Yes, you will have wonderful moments when you're alone in prayer with the Lord. You will. But there's also wonderful blessings that come when you're with other believers. When you're together. Something happened. The Spirit works. We don't completely understand it, do we? But He works. And here's a wonderful example of that. When they hear the voice of another believer, our fellowship in the Spirit, does it bring joy? And so often, I think today, our fellowship, much of what might be called fellowship today, may not actually be fellowship. It may not actually be a sharing, a working together, a co-laboring together. I'm talking here now about the joy presented in the scriptures. Not something trivial like talking about entertainment or sports, but the joy of knowing Christ and his resurrection. There can be times when we struggle having joy with one another. We're sinners. We struggle. The devil will spread rumors. The devil doesn't want you together. The devil doesn't want you to have joy together. I hope you know that. And there's only one being who gets pleasure out of seeing Christians at odds with each other, and that's the devil. The devil is an accuser. He brings division among God's people. We must be a forgiving people, a people excited to receive each other. Following the example here of Elizabeth, excited to receive Mary into our home. Come, this is wonderful. A people excited to receive one another and love one another, as that is what we hear, see with Elizabeth. She was excited even to hear the voice of Mary. Fellowship is sweet. Fellowship is a foretaste of heaven. Of heaven. This joy, even seen by a child in the womb. And brethren, be very careful. We all need to be careful. No matter where you are in a Christian walk, pride and sin robs us all of this joy. Pride and sin robs us of the sweet fellowship one with another. Don't think here this morning, I know a neighbor of mine who needs to hear this message. Don't think that. Think I need to hear this message. We all need to hear this message, me included. We have, in some ways, we rob ourselves of the joy in the Spirit through our sin when following the devil and dividing people. Don't let him divide you. Be together. Receive one another. And it's a wonderful thing. Fellowship is a wonderful thing. And our final point here this morning. Number 5, the Spirit brings belief. The Spirit brings belief. So we've looked at number 1, encouragement. The Spirit brings encouragement. 2, life. 3, praise. 4, joy. And then finally, number 5, the Spirit brings belief. Belief. Verse 45. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. The Spirit is clearly at work among both Mary and Elizabeth. But this does not just bring a kind of a mindless praise, an empty joy, something or anything like that. It brings something concrete. It brings something to hold on to. Much of modern day Christianity, they want the life, the praise, the joy, but not the belief. A religion led by feelings rather than what we believe. And the problem with being led by feelings is our feelings will change. Our feelings will change. We need a belief that's anchored in the truth. Now, a cold, dead orthodoxy is also dangerous. A cold, dead orthodoxy with no joy, peace, and life, that's no substitute at all. But the Spirit brings belief in the Christ and his promises, in the Christ of the Scriptures. The promises he made to his people. Elizabeth declares this, that for there will be a fulfillment of the things told her. That's what she said. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. The praise, the joy, the encouragement brought by the Spirit during this time has a foundation. A foundation in solid belief. And belief is not some jump in the dark. It is a belief in something that is sound, true. And to do anything else, to do anything besides trust in this Lord is absurd. To trust Him is the only wise thing to do. Because God is trustworthy. Elizabeth here trusts the promises made to Mary. She trusts it because God is trustworthy. We should trust Him and believe what He says. All His promises, they will be fulfilled. Why will they be fulfilled? Why do we know they will be fulfilled? Because He cannot fail. Because He cannot lie. Isn't that wonderful? Could you imagine if you had a friend who could not lie to you? We lie. All of us, sadly. But God is trustworthy in everything, in every detail. He cannot lie because of His nature. He is truth. He cannot deny who He is. He cannot change who He is. He is who He is. I am that I am, He declares about Himself. And the question is here this morning, do you believe that? Do you trust? God will deliver you. God will deliver you. Trust Him. Do you believe He will deliver you? Oh yes, I believe I'm going to heaven. But what about things in this temporal life? The things that worry, the things that cause you to lose sleep. Do you believe that God can deliver you? You see, we can have this kind of theoretical, oh yes, I believe God. But when push comes to shove, when our bank balance is empty, when we're not sure where the next check is coming from, when we're not sure if we're not sure if our doors will keep open, whatever the worry may be, do you believe that God is able to deliver you? And dear brethren, may I say this? Do you believe that the Lord is able to fill this building once again with Spirit-filled people? He is able. He is trustworthy. Cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. If you have trusted Him, if you have trusted Him, that is the evidence of the work of the Spirit of God in your heart. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. That is the evidence. That's why we need here to be among God's people. We need to be built up. We need to be encouraged. Public worship, being with Christians in prayer, brings us into the presence of the Spirit of Almighty God. It builds up our belief. I remember last year, after a couple of months of no services, where we were living in Dromore, I don't know about you, but I felt weak. I felt weak at the end of it. Because it was robbed of the blessing of public worship. I think we've lost a sense of how important public worship is. And this is not a comment on how dangerous or not dangerous the virus is. I'm talking about how important public worship is. We need each other. We need each other. We need the Spirit of God. Because without each other, without the Spirit of God, we will struggle. And the moment we think we don't need each other, the moment we don't think we need the Spirit of God, the moment I don't think I don't need the Spirit of God to be up here, the moment we begin to drift from Him, in conclusion, do you see the influence of the Spirit of God on believers? He is at work. He is at work. When somebody has visited you, brought you something that you needed someday, brought you a word of scripture perhaps, or reminded you of something maybe out of the car park, about a promise of Almighty God, and you've been encouraged, and your belief has been stirred up, that's the Spirit of God at work. And that's another example of how we need each other. Dear Christian, are you a person of praise, joy, and belief? The more we are an example of those things, the more the Spirit of God is at work in us. Yes, we would love to be more of those things, wouldn't we? We'd all love to be more of those things. We'd all love to have more of the godly character of Mary and Elizabeth shown here. But even if it's seen in a lower degree, it's still the Spirit of God at work. Continue to grow in that. And we need more of this work, dear brethren. We need more of this work, not less. There's so many things, they're vying for our control. There's things the devil wants you to think about, everything else on the Sabbath day except for the Lord. But I've been speaking to Christians. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't know this Spirit of God. The Spirit of God who's at work in the lives of believers. Maybe you don't know him at all. Perhaps you're not even a believer. Turn from your sin today. Turn from your own way and turn to Christ. Then, my friend, I promise you will see, if you've trusted in Christ, you will see foretastes of heaven. You will see sweet fellowship by being among the believers. Amen.